today's shir is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Tzadik Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. Rameya Oimer Ba'avadim Oimer Lo HaReishul Cholofanecha. We saw in the Mishnah yesterday a machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rameya. Rameya's opinion was that Avadim are treated like Karka, and just like by Karka, Karka in an exelus, and no matter what happens to the Karka while it's under the domain of the Gazlan, he just returns it as it is. So too, said Rameyer, is the din by Avadim. Avadim are like Karka, Karka in an exelus, and no matter what happened to the Avadim while the Gazlan had them, he returns them by saying, Harei Shulcha Lefanecha. However, we saw that the Rabbanon disagreed, and the Rabbanon in our Mishnah did not treat Avodim like Karka. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Chanina Baravdimi Omer Rav. Rav said the Aloch is like Rameya. Asked the Gemara, for Rav Shavik Rabbanon Vavit Rameya, does Rav not follow the opinion of the Rabbanon rather the opinion of Rameya? And as the we showed him the Rajba explained the Gemara's question. Don't we find many times in Shas that the Halacha follows the opinion of a Tana, and the Gemara doesn't ask this question? Why is the Gemara asking this question here? Answers the Rajba. Typically, where do we say that, since we see, as we know, that Rebbe was the one that arranged the Mishnais, and when we see that Rebbe in a Mishnah brought an opinion anonymously, it's obvious because Rebbe held that that was the correct opinion of Lahalocha. So if in our Mishnah Rebbe quotes the opinion of Drabonon anonymously, obviously Rebbe held that the opinion of the Rabbanon was correct. Rav, being a Talmud of Rebbe, should have followed his Rebbe's psak, that the halacha is like the Rabbanon, and therefore asked the Gemara, how do we have Rav following the opinion of Rameya? Amri answers the Gemara, Mishnah de Braisa Ibchatanya, because we find a Braisa where the opinion that has the exact same case as our Mishnah, but there the opinions of the Rabbanon and Rameya are reversed, and Rav is passing as the Rabbanon, as the Braisa quotes the opinions of the Rabbanon and Rameya. Ask the Gemara, for Rav Shavik Masnisin Vavit Kebraisa. Throughout Shas, we always know that a Mishnah is considered superior over a Braisa. So why is Rav following the version of the Braisa rather than following the version of the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Rav Masnisin Ibchatani. Actually, Rav changes the version, the Girsa, of our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, what causes that Rav should reverse the Girsa of our Mishnah? Umay tamid the Rav, the Apech Masnisin, the Kamid the Braisa. Is the reason Rav is changing the opinions, reversing the opinions in our Mishnah, because he wants the Mishnah to be consistent with the Braisa? Adrabba, should he have not Nepech Lebraisa Mekam Masnisin, rather have reversed the opinions in the Braisa to make the Braisa consistent with our Mishnah, as we just explained, given that Mishnais are considered superior over Braises? Amri answers the Gemara, Rav Nami Masnis Ifchisanya. It's not that Rav reversed the opinions in the Mishnah because of the Braisa. Rav's original way of learning the Mishnah was consistent with the way the Braisa quotes the opinions, which is the opposite of the way our Mishnah quotes the opinions. V'bayisema, another way of understanding, Kiloy Apach, when would Rav not reverse the opinion in a Mishnah, the opinion cited in the Mishnah, because of what's cited in the Braisa? That's Chodah Mekamichodah, where you have the Mishnah quoting the opinions in one way, the Braisa in another way. So we say that the opinion, the Mishnah, is superior to the Braisa. However, chada mekametati apach. Here, as the Gemara will now explain, we actually have, Rav actually had two brises that had the opinions reversed. And because he had two brises that he had the opinion reversed, that's why he also reversed the opinion cited in the Mishnah. And as the Mashah explains, it wouldn't be enough for Rav just to have a situation with him. We have two brises quoting the opinion in one way, and a Mishnah quoting the opinions in the other way. Because that would cause a real dilemma. On one hand, should we follow the two brises? On the other hand, should we follow the Mishnah? Each one having an advantage. This because it's two, and this because it's a Mishnah. So Rav was actually faced with a dilemma, what to do. In order to avoid this dilemma, what Rav did was, he reversed the opinion in the Mishnah that it should be consistent with the Braisa. And by reversing the opinion in the Mishnah and making it consistent with the Braisa, now Rav could easily paskin like Remeya. What is the Braisa? The second Braisa that indicates a reversal of the opinions, the Tanya. And we need to say a word of introduction. As we have learned Baruch Hashem many times together, in order for a transaction to be halachically valid, we need to have a kinyan. In fact, a kinyan, as we have said many times, specifically means not a cash transfer. A cash is only a valid kinyan in limited situations. However, one of the types of kinyanim which is certainly valid is what's known as chalipin. Now, there are two ways to affect chalipin. One way of affecting chalipin is where the buyer gives the seller an item that he owns. Typically, it'll be a pen or yarmulke, and the other party picks up the item, and that's what's known as a kinyan chalipin. The other type of kinyan chalipin, a little more of the traditional definition of chalipin, is a barter, where two individuals exchange items, and as soon as one of the parties in this barter arrangement takes the item that he's taking, the kinyan is automatically effective for the other item that is being exchanged. And therefore we have a situation, says the Braisa, of Amachlus Parabachamar. Two individuals, one is exchanging his cow for the other person's donkey. So as soon as the person who's receiving the donkey takes the donkey into his rishos, the cow becomes the other party's animal. Now the question is, Vyolda, this cow has a baby, and we're not exactly sure when was that baby born. Was it born before the transaction was affected, and it's therefore the original owner's animal, or was it born after the transaction was chal, and it becomes the second party's? Or we have a situation, Hamoicheshiv Chasa V'yolda. And here Rashi says, since we're talking about the selling of a shivcha, a shivcha can be sold, the kinyan can be affected with cash. And what happened here was that the buyer gave the seller money for the shivcha. And again, the question is, when was the baby born? Was it born before the transaction was affected or after? Ze oimim reshusi yolda. One says that I know for sure that this child, whether the shifra's child, the animal's child, was born in my domain. And the other one says, I just don't know. The halach is zochaba. The one that could make a certain claim is the one that prevails. As we have learned many times, because the rule is, bari v'shema, bari adav. If one is certain and one is not, we follow the one that's certain. However, if it will be a situation of ze'ayim eni yedeya, v'ze'ayim eni yedeya, both are just not quite certain when was this baby born, Taloch is Yechloiku. They should divide its value. Our Braisa is following the opinion of Tzumchus, whom we learned earlier. His opinion is that Mammon HaMutl B'Safik, wherever there's a question about a financial situation, Yechloiku, we divide it. In a situation, V'Zeh Oymi Rishusi, one person says, I know for sure that the baby was born under my domain. V'Zeh Oymi Rishusi, and the other one says, it was born under my control. Yishavar HaMoicher B'Shusha Yolda. So here, the person who sold the animal that gave birth is the one, and the animal, therefore, he is the one that has a chazaka on it. He should swear, and swear that it was born in his rishus, and therefore keep it. Lefi, because the Mishnah, the Bryce is obviously anticipating a question. This is a situation of Moida B'Mixis, because the seller is agreeing that the animal that was sold, the parah or the shivcha, belonged to the buyer. And since we have a situation of Moida B'Mixis, the halach is that a Moida B'Mixis has to swear midaraisa. But actually, they're both Moida B'Mixis. The buyer and the seller on the actual cow and actual donkey, there is no debate. So the Gemara, the Bryce is anticipating, why does the seller of the cow make the shvua and keep it? Says the Bryce, Lefisha kol hanishbon b'Torah, always that is the halacha, that the shvua is made by the individual of the nishbon v'loy mishalmim divrei meir. The person will swear, and once he swears, he's not obligated to pay. That's Remeir's opinion. The Chum don't agree with Remeir's opinion, because the Chum's opinion is Einish Bon Loy Alavodim V'Loy Kakos. We don't make a shvua, or even a shvua b'moed b'mixes, when we're talking about karka or avodim. Obviously, this Mishnah, this Braisa is teaching us that we consider according to Rabbanan avodim and kakos as the same halachically, whereas Reb Meir does not consider avodim and kakos the same, which is the opposite, as we've been learning, of the version of our Mishnah. Another clear indication to Rav that the opinions of Rabbanan and Reb Meir in our Mishnah ought to be reversed. Ask the Gemara, if now we're saying that the reason the Rabbanan paskin like Reb Meir is because Rav paskins like Reb Meir, it's not really that he's paskin like Reb Meir, he's paskinning like the Rabbanan, just he's reversing the opinions of our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, so why high aloch Reb Meir? Why does Rav say that the aloch is like Reb Meir? Actually, what he ought to say is aloch Rabbanan miboyle. He ought to say the aloch is like Rabbanan, because that's what he's really paskining. Answers the Gemara, hachikomer. What Rav was saying, l'may dapich zuvatanisa, according to the version quoted in our Mishnah, which is not according to me. The proper version, says Rav, the halacha is like Reb Meir. And as the Mefarshim point out, the reason Rav said it this way was because Rav wanted everybody to be certain to paskin according to the opinion that says that Eved is treated like Karka. Continues the Gemara. Umi Omer Rav, Avdik Mekarka Dami, does Rav indeed hold that Avodim are treated like Karka? V'ha'omrav Daniel Bakatil Omrav. A toikiv ba'avdoi shel chaveroi. Somebody seizes somebody else's Eved Kanani, v'asubo melocha, and he does work with him, potter. Now, as the Mefarshim explained, this actually will serve as a good chazara for a lot of the concepts that we've been learning in our Masechta. If an item is subject to gzeila, then the halacha is that the gazlan has, as we learned in the Mishnayos and the Gemaras in our Perek, has to return the item that he stole. If he returns the item that he stole, the fact that he used that item doesn't really make a difference, because the halacha is the heshiv as a gzeila. Particularly as we have been learning, Chazal went out of the way to institute the takonis hashavim, that to make it easy for a gazlan to do tshuva, and one of the applications of the takonis hashavim is that they just should he should just return what he stole, and the fact that he used it, and while it was under his domain, since doesn't make a difference. Moreover, as the Shach says, a gazlan, we've learned, really takes to a degree ownership over the item that he stole. So therefore, if we would say that an Eved is not like Karka, and therefore it's subject to Gzela, all that would be required is just to return the Eved. However, if we're going to hold, if Rav is going to hold, that we treat an Eved like Karka, so it's not an item they're not an item that can be stolen. And it's just not enough to return it as is. And my potter, why would he be potter for paying for his use? Brishus de Marikoi, this Eved was never really his, because it's not subject to Gezela, and he should have to pay for his using the Eved. Answers the Gemara, that he seized and worked with the Eved in a time where the Eved wouldn't have worked anyway. And the Gemara actually says, we're referring back to a sugya that we learned at the beginning of our Masechta on Daf Chof Aleph. Kahada Sholach Le'Rab Abba Lamari Bamar. If somebody lives in somebody else's property without the owner's permission, if it's a property that's not something open that the owner intends to rent, does he have to pay for using it or not? He doesn't have to pay for his using this property, as we learned, because this is a situation of zen nena v'zeloi chaser. Ask the Gemara, hachi hashta, can we compare the case of living in someone else's home, and as we explained, that it's a situation of zen nena v'zeloi chaser, to our situation? Bishla mahosam, as we explained in Daf Chaf Aleph, bein l'man dama beisa misvi yosrit nichalei. There we explained that actually a landlord gains by someone living in his property. Because if something develops, a problem develops on the property, the person living there will see what's going on and be able to fix it or notify the landlord to repair it. Bein l'man damer, also as we quoted the pasuk in Yeshaya, v'shiyah yukashar, that an empty home, there is a shade, there are shadim that occupy such a house. So nichalei, so there's something to gain by somebody living in somebody else's home. Elahocha, here, if I take someone else's Eved Kanani, nichalei de nichsha avdei, is that to the owner's benefit? I'm just weakening the Eved by using him. Answers the Gemara, Amri, hachanami nichalei de layisterei avdei. The owner is happy that I should use his Eved, rather than the Eved should do nothing. And as the Mefarshim explained, either because laziness can represent something very detrimental to the Eved, he shouldn't become accustomed to be lazy. Another pshat that the Chasam Sofer interestingly says is that an Eved who's supposed to do hard manual labor has to stay in shape. And if he isn't constantly being worked with, his muscles won't be kept in proper shape. Actually, I saw an interesting psak from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein based on this Gemara. He discusses a situation where somebody hired a taxi or a car service to deliver a package on his behalf from where he is to wherever he needed the package delivered. And the taxi driver picks up a passenger to also take him to that location, destination. And the question is, who is entitled to get the fare from this passenger? Says Rav Zilberstein, based on our Gemara, it's a situation of zen nen of zelei chaser. My package is going to arrive at that destination anyway, and the taxi driver isn't going to lose, I'm not going to lose anything by the taxi driver picking up this passenger and also taking him there, and that the taxi driver has a right to take the fare from this passenger. Says the Gemara, Bei Reb Yosef Bar Chama have a talk of the Inchi Damascus Bezuzi. The home of Reb Yosef Bar Chama would take Avodim, would take the Avodim Knanim of people who owe them money, va'avdi b'malacha, and work with them. And as Mefarshim explained, it wasn't that he only took those Avodim. Perhaps he took other people's Avodim who didn't owe him money also. But as we're going to learn, the question at hand is relevant because the person who owned the Eved owed him money. Another pshat is that people feel more confident and feel it easier to take the Eved and use the Eved of someone who owes them money, because he feels that person owes me money, I certainly should have a right to take their Eved versus a person who doesn't have any obligation to me. Another pshat that I saw that the Achronim suggest is that obviously the owner of this Eved did not have funds, because he had to borrow money from someone else. And since he had limited funds, he really didn't have the way to support the Eved. So actually, Rabbi Yosef felt he was doing him a favor by taking the Eved, and he'll give the Eved to eat and drink and take that burden off the person who anyway doesn't have funds. Amalei, Rava Berei. So Rava, his son, said to him, "My tam ma Ovid mar hachi, how are you acting this way?" Amalei, Damer of Nachman, Avda Noam kreisulei shavi. It costs more to feed the Eved than the worth of the Eved. So since I'm feeding and supporting the Eved for the time that he's by me, I'm actually doing him a favor. Asked the Gemara, asked Rava to his father, Amalei, Eimad Amar Rav Nachman. When did Rav Nachman say this? Kigoyin Dora Avdei, like in the situation of his Eved Dora, the Merakad Bei Kuvi, that would spend the entire day dancing in bars. The Kula, but therefore, taking such an Eved off the owner's hand is certainly doing him a favor, because the Eved costs more than he produces. However, Kula Avdi, Mevid Avdi, all other Avodim certainly work hard, and this is inappropriate. Amalei, so Rav Yosef Bar Chama said, Anok Rav Daniel Smirlei, Dom Rav Daniel Bar Katina Amarav, Hatoike Ba'avdi Shachaveroi Ve'osiba Malacha. If somebody sees that someone else as Eved Knani and works with him, Potter. Why? Because as we explained, Alma Nichalei the Lailisteri Avdei. He's satisfied that his Eved should not do nothing. So here too, I'm taking the Eved instead of him doing nothing. Amalei, so he said to him, Hani Mili Heicha Deloi Masig Baizuzi. That's only acceptable where the owner of the Eved doesn't own the person who takes the Eved anything. However, here, Mar Kim the Masig Baizuzi, since the owner of the Eved owes you money, Mechsi Karibis, by you using the Eved, it looks like you're taking interest. Domer of Yosef, Bamanyuni, Omer of Nachman, Abisha Omer Adobachatzar Chaveri Shloim Datoi. As we explained earlier, if somebody lives in somebody else's property, ain't Tzarch Laos Litzchar, because it's Zed Nena Vizeloi Chosser, Hilveyu Vidobachatzar Chaveri, if I live in somebody's property who owes me money, there, we don't have this exemption, Tzarch Laos Litzchar, for otherwise, it's Mechsi Karibis. Amalei Hadribei, I will not do this anymore, you're correct. But as the Rishonim point out, what he meant by saying Hadribei was that he won't do it in the future. But the fact that he did it in the past does not require him to pay, because halachically it was actually mutter. The Rishonim note, Taisvis and other Rishonim note, a number of qualifications to this rule. They say this is only usur by something which is noticed by the public, like living in his house, using his Eved. And also, it's only in a situation where there was no pre-existing relationship, and he didn't typically take the loiva's Eved. He didn't typically live in the loiva's home. But if it was something that they did they had this relationship from before, then there wouldn't be a problem. The Rishonim also debate, will the halacha change if it's only in a situation like our Gemara, where the Malva took something of the Loivis? What will be the halacha if the Loiva allowed the Malva to take it? Will that be a situation of Mechzi Karibis or not? And it seems that the Paiskim say it really depends if something that the Loiva did for the Malva or would have done for the Malva previously. And again, the Paiskim can point out, we're not really learning the halachas of ribis in today's shir, that if somebody owes somebody else money, he has to be very careful not to do anything that looks like ribis. For example, the Paiskim can suggest that, let's say somebody lent someone else money, and the loiva wants to show appreciation, so Yontif comes, and he'll buy the Malvan Aliyah, which he would have never have done previously. Say the Paiskim, it's Osir, because it's certainly Mechzi Karibis that he's doing it because he feels appreciation. Itma, says the Gemara, Hatoichiv Svinosoi Shel Chaveiroi Vosu Bamalocha. If somebody takes somebody else's boat and uses it, and as the Mefarshim explained, when somebody does something like this, it could be viewed as one of two situations. It could be viewed as a situation of a renter, and a renter pays rent, but a renter does not pay if something happens to the item that he rented, if it depreciates or if it's meisamach mesmalacha. Because the halach is the meisamach mesmalacha, a renter is potter. On the other hand, a gazlan doesn't pay for rent for using the item, but a gazlan does pay, as we have been learning, if something happens to the item he stole. And here, what happened was that somebody took someone else's item without permission, and the question is, how do we look at the person, how does the halacha look at the person who's using the item? Amar Rav. So Rav says, Rotz schar neitel, rotz pichse neitel. We look at whatever is better for the owner of the item. So if the value of the rent is greater, he should be treated as a renter. If the value of the depreciation, or if something happened to it, and that's the greater value, that's what he should pay. Shmuel Eimer ain't a neitel pichse. He's only viewed as a gazlan, and he only therefore pays for the depreciation. Says Rav Papa, Amar Rav Papa Lo Pligi. There actually is no machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Hada vida lagra, hada lo yavida lagra. In a situation where we have something that is typically rented, it's treated as a rental income. If it's something that's not typically rented, he's treated as a gazlan. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining, hava hada vida lagra. We are referring to a ship that's typically rented. But we have to look at what was the intention of the user. If the person used it intended that he should be renting the item, so he's treated as a renter and pays rent. If, however, he is said that his intent was to be a gazlan, he's treated a gazlan and he has to pay for depreciation or damages that happened to the item. Ask the Rishonim, how can we trust the person who's using it to say that he wanted to be a gazlan? Isn't there a halacha of ein odom meisim atzmi rasha? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that the person, as he was taking the item, announced in front of Adam that that was his intent. So now we're not relying on his say-so. Or when it will cost the person money, and as in this case, he's going to have to pay the payment as a gazlan, there is no rule of ein odom meisim atzmi rasha. So we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody was gozel matbeiv in nizdak, if somebody stole a coin and it cracked, he has to pay the owner of the coin according to the value of the coin that it had when it was stolen. However, we learned another case of gozel, if he stole and it was disqualified, the data halacha is that he could say, Harei Shulcha Lefanecha. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Nizdak, when the Mishnah speaks about Nizdak, it means Nizdak Mamish, that it actually cracked. Nifso, it means Paslusa Malchus, that it was taken out of currency, it was taken out of circulation, and that's why it's disqualified. Rav Yudaima, Paslusa Malchus, that if it was disqualified, then it has the same din of Nizdak. Ella, Heichi Dami Nifso, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what is the definition of disqualified? Shepsula Medina Zu v'yot Medina Acheres. That in this country it's no longer usable, but it is usable in another country. And as the Mefarshim explain, what is the basis of the machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda? The machloikis is what is considered a hezek nicker. According to Rav Yehuda, it has to be something that, according to Rav Yehuda, it has to be something that is noticeable. If it's something that is disqualified completely, then it's noticeable. If it's only disqualified in one country, it will not be considered a hezek nicker. Whereas Rav Huna holds that even a disqualification in one country will be considered a hezek nicker. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Chisdal Rav Huna Lididoch Damer Nifsula. According to you, the definition of Nifsula is Pesula Malchus, where it was disqualified. Why is it different, he asks, Harei Peiris V'Kivu and Yayin V'Hichmetz, in a situation where wine becomes spoiled or the Peiris become rotten, we learned the Kivislur Malchus Dami should also be considered like it was disqualified. And Viktani, we learned that Allah is Misham Kshas Exela. Shouldn't the same din apply here when the coin was disqualified and that it should also be Mishalom Kshas Exela? Amalei, you can't compare the two situations. Hasam Nishtan of Tam Vrechoi, the wine that got spoiled, it's very noticeable. Hacha, the coin is loy nishtana, it's not that noticeable. Amalei Rav LeRav Yehuda Lididoch Dam Paslus Malchus Nami Nizdik, that it was disqualified, it's considered like cracked. Harei Truma V'Nitmus, so why is it different than Truma that becomes Tamei? The Kipaslucha Malchus Tamei, that it should also be considered like a situation where the government disqualified a coin. Yet by Truma that became Tamei, we learned in the Mishnah, he could say Harei Shalchala Fenecha. Amalei Hasam by the Truma, it's like Minker Hazeka. Here it's Minker Hazeka. Why a coin's treated different than Truma? So the Mefarshim, the Avni Nezer explains, a coin that becomes disqualified, all of the coins became disqualified, and therefore you can't say Reishal Chalafanecha. However, by the Truma, it's only this specific Truma that became Pasul, not any other coin, not any other Truma. Itma. Says the Gemara, Hamavas Chaver Amatpeya. Somebody lends someone else money, and they agree that the payment for the owing of the money will be made with a certain currency. V'nifsul Amatpeya. And then that currency is taken out of circulation. Rav Amar, Rav's opinion is, that currency, even though they had agreed to pay the loan with a certain currency, you can't pay with a currency that's no longer in circulation. Vishmul Amar, Shmuel says, as long as the currency is usable somewhere, Yochel, he could say that I could find the currency in Meishan. This currency is usable in Meishan, and it should be a valid way of paying the debt. Amar Rav Nachman, Mistaber Milsa Shmuel. Shmuel's opinion seems to be reasonable. This lay Urchel Meizel Meishan, where he's going to be traveling to Meishan anyway. Aveles lay Urcha, if he's not traveling to Meishan, the fact that this coin could be used in Meishan, loy will not make it be considered legitimate currency. Eisvei Rav LeRav Nachman, the halacha is that during the first and second and fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, Maisa Sheni has to be separated. And if a person doesn't want to have to carry the Maisa Sheni produce to Yerushalayim, he could redeem it. Says the Braisa, you can't use money that's not in currency to redeem the Maisa Sheni produce. Kate said, if he had these coins minted by Ben Kaziva, or otherwise known as Bar Kokhva, in Oisha Malchus Rishonim, or coins of earlier kings, which are no longer in currency, they can't be used for pidyon Maisa Sheni. It implies that coins that of nowadays, that even though they're not currency in this area, but they are currency elsewhere, mechalalin, we would be allowed to use them to effect redemption, even though the owner will not be traveling to that place. So we see that the halacha is you could use coins that are not in currency in this place, even if you're not intending to travel to the place where they are in currency. Amalei, so Rav Nachman replies, Hochab b'mayiskinen, k'she'ein malchus makbidus elzuah. That one country allows the other country to hold foreign currencies. So since they're allowed to hold foreign currencies, even though they're not traveling to that area, the halacha is that that's considered legitimate currencies. Ella, says the Gemara, Ki Am Shmuel. Shmuel obviously was speaking in a case, K'shemalchus makbidos zu al zu, that the countries are particular and do not allow people to hold foreign currency. So if that's the case, how could Shmuel suggest that that's considered legitimate currency? Heichi matzi mamtile. How could Shmuel suggest that that's legitimate currency? Answers the Gemara, the mamtilo ayde tchak. It can be used with somewhat with difficulty. Deloy bachashi. It refers to a situation where the authorities do not actively search for people holding the foreign currencies, only in Mishachi, if they catch you, kapti, are they particular. And that's why, because it's such a situation, Shmuel considers this money still valid currency. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Eim Mechalin, Amar Shokan, Vehem Bebovel. We can't redeem Maisa Sheni on coins that are from Eretz Yisrael, that the coins are presently in Bavel, the Shava Bavel, or coins that are in Bavel, Vehem Kan, that are presently in Eretz Yisrael, or Shabavel Vehem Bavel, but coins that are in Bavel, and are presently located in Bavel, Mechalin, we can redeem Maisa Sheni. But what does it say here? K'tani Mayas, Eim Mechalin Amar Shekan, we can't use Eretz Yisrael Digamani, Vehem Bavel, that are currently in Bavel, Afagav, the Sifik Lamek Lahasam, even though that money will ultimately be brought to Eretz Yisrael and is usable in Eretz Yisrael. But that's a question on Shmuel. Didn't Shmuel say that if this currency will ultimately be taken to a place where it's valid currency, it's considered currency, the case of going to Meishon? So here too, money, Eretz Yisrael Digger money in Bavel, even though it's not usable in Bavel, since ultimately it's obviously going to be taken to Eretz Yisrael, because that's the halacha, that the money that's used to redeem the Maisa Sheni should be ultimately taken to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael, so why can't it be used for redemption money? Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinon, Shemalchis Makbidazulzu, that the governments are particular, and since the governments are particular about one another and they search for foreign currency, so money from Eretz Yisrael that's in Bavel is not considered valid currency. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi Shabovel, Venture Abovel, Lamai Chazi. If we're dealing in a time where the countries are particular about foreign currency, so why could Bovel money, which is in Bovel, be used to redeem the Maisa Sheni? There's no way of getting that Bovel money to Eretz Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, Chazu, the Zovim Bahema, or Masak Yerushalayim. They can be used, because somebody could take that money and buy an animal with it in Bovel, and take that money, that animal up to Eretz Yisrael. Even though Tosfos says that that's really not proper, one is not supposed to buy behemoths with Maisa Sheni money, so how could the Gemara suggest that that's what would happen? So Tosfos says that that, what the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Kedushin, that one shouldn't do that, is only in a situation where there are other options. L'chatchila, one should not use his Maisa Sheni money to buy animals and take those animals up to Eretz Yisrael. However, when there are no other options, it's permissible. Another teretz is that that thing is only l'chatchila, but b'di'evid, if somebody took his Maisa Sheni money and took it up to Eretz Yisrael, and brought an animal with it and took the animal up to Yerushalayim, it would be acceptable. V'tanya, asked the Gemara, didn't we learn that there was a takanas chazal that all money can be used from any currency can be used in Yerushalayim? So how can we suggest that the situation of Malchus Makbidus Alzeh and they did not allow in Eretz Yisrael the use of Bovel money? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Zera, Loikasha. Kam bezman sheyad Yisrael tekif alumas oilam, kam bezman she'ein umas oilam tekif al atzman. And there are two ways of understanding the Gemara's teretz, Machlokes Rishonim. The Ravid explains that when there were Yad Yisrael Tekifa, when Jews were prevailing, so there were many Jews traveling to Yisrael, and therefore they allowed for all money, all types of money, to be brought to Yerushalayim and be used. However, when there aren't, when there isn't Yad Yisrael Tekifa, so there weren't so many people going up to Yisrael, so they only allowed Yisrael the money to be used in Yisrael. The Ramah explains the Gemara just the opposite. When Yad Yisrael is Tekifa, there we do not have a reason to have to use Chutz L'Oretz the Gemani in Eretz Yisrael. However, when Yad Umas Olam is Tekufa, so there they allow the Paris and all money to be taken up to Yerushalayim, because Klai Yisrael doesn't have the power to prevent that. Tana Rabbanan, Eiz Mitbeish Yerushalayim, what was the coin used in Yerushalayim? Dovin Shlem Mitzar Echad, Yerushalayim Irakodesh Mitzar Echad. Dovin Shlem on one side, and Yerushalayim on the other side. And as Rashi and Tosfos both point out, it wasn't actually a picture of Dovin and Shlem or Yerushalayim, it was the words Dovin and Shlem and Yerushalayim written on the two sides of the coin. And as the Briska Rav explains, the point of this coin was to show us the eternal link between Malchus David and Yerushalayim. And therefore, they had in the same coin, and that's actually something that we do every day when we say Birchas Hamazon. As the Gemara says, Kol Mishlei Omer Malchus Beis David BeBirchas Yerushalayim LaYotz Yidei Chavosai. Because Yerushalayim and Malchus David are so very linked. Veiz Mateish Avram Avinu. What was the coin of Avram Avinu? Zokv Zakena Mitzad Echad, Bacha Besulim Mitzad Echad. An old man and a young man on one side, and a young old man and woman on one side, and a young man and woman on the other side. The Mefarshim point out, why do we speak about the coin of David before we speak about the coin of Yerushalayim? So the Mefarshim explain that since our Gemara was speaking about Yerushalayim, that's how we're speaking about coins, we first mentioned the coin of Yerushalayim. Here, there's a machloikis. If by the coin of Avram and Sarah, was it also, as Tosfos says, just the name of Avram and Sarah written out, or was it actually a picture of Avram and Sarah drawn? And the question really hinges on the halacha is one's not allowed to engrave the picture of someone. What does that isser include or not include? Some say that any type of engraving or drawing of the picture of an individual is osur. However, others say that if it's only the profile, or when you're doing a picture of a face, you don't make it exactly perfect, it's not osur. And that is relevant to this Gemara, were they allowed to draw a picture of Avram and Sarah, or as Tosfos says, they only had the name of Avram and Sarah written. Who were the Bachar and Basula on the other side? Here too we find Machlokes. Some say the Bachar and Basula on the other side are also Avram and Sarah. On one side it refers to Avram and Sarah as they're older, and the other side refers to Avram and Sarah when they were younger. And the lesson being that Avram and Sarah did not change. They remained consistent in their entire life in their Avodas Hashem, both when they were younger and when they were older. There are other Mefarshim that explain that it's trying to represent the great nace that happened to Avram and Sarah, who as they got older became, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nace that they reverted back to their youth in order that they should be able to have children, and this commemorates that great nace. Another pshat that I saw is that it refers, we know that Avram and Sarah were Megayer Anoshim V'Noshim. So Avram and Sarah were on one side, and the Bachar Basula on the other side represent the people who Avram and Sarah were Megayer. And yet another pshat says that Avram and Sarah were on one side, and the other side, the Bachar Basula, represent Yitzchak and Rivka, which represents the continuity of Klal Yisrael, that Avram and Sarah had Avram, Yitzchak and Rivka continuing their way, which is understandable by understanding why does the Gemara specify the coin of Avram and Sarah? Because the Pasuk says, to Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'gadlo Shmecha, I will make you famous. How was he made famous? By having a coin that had his name or had his image on it, and furthermore by having Yitzchak and Rivka, which represents the continuity of Klal Yisrael emanating from Avram and Sarah.